Okay, and I want to talk today about messages and lessons from the Kol Shofar, the kavanos that we should have when we hear the Tekiah Shofar, the meaning in the Tekiah Shofar. Every Yom Tov has a mitzvah hayom. Pesach is represented in matzah and maror, and Chanukah is the mitzvah yom, of course, is the Chanukah lech, so the sufganiyot and the lakas and the dreidel and the Chanukah gelt, it's all very nice customs, but you can't have Chanukah without those. You can't have Chanukah without the Chanukah lech. And on Sukkos, you must have a sukkah and you must have the arba minim. So every Yom Tov has a mitzvah hayom, and the mitzvah hayom of Rosh Hashanah, of course, is tkiyah shofar. Besides the apple with honey and the roast and the beautiful meals and the new clothing, it's all very, very important. And the guests you may or may not have and all the liturgy, but the essence of the day is really tkiyah shofar. Rosh Hashanah itself has a number of different names. Rosh Hashanah is known as, number one, Rosh Hashanah, which is what we commonly refer to this day as, which literally means the head of the year, because it is the beginning of the new year. Hayom haras olam, hayom yami b'mishpa kol yitzurei olamim. So we call it Rosh Hashanah because it is the head of the new year. That's name number one. Name number two is Yom Hadin. It is known as the day of judgment because on this day God judges. V'chol ba'ei olam ya'avrun l'fanecha kivnei maron kivakaras ro atacha shivto. Kein tis on this day we pass before God like sheep before the shepherd, and we are counted, and Hashem takes an accounting of every single person in the world. So it is Yom Hadin because on this day every single inhabitant of the world is judged. So it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Hadin. It's also known as Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance, because Hashem is the Zocher Kol HaNishkachos. He remembers everything that is forgotten. I certainly don't remember what I did last year on 15 Cheshvan or 15 Shvat or 15 Adar or 15 Tammuz even, but the Ribbono Shel Olam remembers everything that we did and we said on those days. So another name for the day is Yom HaZikaron. And finally, the Torah refers to this day as Yom Teruai Alachem. It is a day of the Teruah blast that you shall have, and this is the essence of the day, the Tekiah Shofar. So we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Hadin, and finally Yom Teruah. I would like to focus on the aspect of Yom Teruah, and that is the meaning of the Shofar on this day that we blow. There is another day, another name for this day, and that is, Rav Salvechik calls it Coronation Day. Rabbi Joseph P. Salvechik, that's also known as the Rav, calls Rosh Hashanah Coronation Day. And if you look at the text of the davening on Rosh Hashanah, it's really not about us. There's no Ashamnu Baganu on this day. There's no Achit Shechatanu Lefanecha on this day. The tefillos of the Yomim Nora of Rosh Hashanah, I should say, are not about us. It's about the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's Malchus, Yechoros, and Shofaros. It's about Hashem as and therefore, in the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, in our weekday davening, we don't say Hakel Hakadosh, we say Hamelech Hakadosh. It is Hamelech Hamishpat. It is Avinu Malkeidu. One of the aspects, one of the major aspects of Rosh Hashanah is Hashem as Melech, and this is called Coronation Day. Says the Rav, he reminisces and says when he was a little boy in Kaslavish in White Russia, until the age he was about 8 or 9 years old, his father was the rabbi in the town of Moshe Salvechik. The son of Rav Chaim Brisker. So Rav Salvechik grew up in this little town in White Russia, Kaslavich, and he went to a cheder, and the malamid was a Chabad malamid. And Rav Salvechik speaks so finely about his Chabad malamid from his childhood. He says, I didn't learn much Torah or much Gemara, but he taught me about a love and a heart for Judaism. And the malamid would tell them before Rosh Hashanah, boys, a special person, a dignitary, a king is coming to town tonight. And they would say, a king is coming to town, a Tsar Nicholas coming to town? And the Malamid would say, no, not Tsar Nicholas, the Melech Malchim, Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to town. So Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Salvechik, is a day of coronation. So it is Yom Hadin, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom Teruah, and it is also the coronation day when we anoint Hashem as Melech. And this leads us into the first aspect of the Kavana that we should have by Tekiah Shofar. What is Tekiah Shofar? We're going to discuss a number of different aspects of Shofar today, but the first point I want to point out is that it reminds us that Hashem is Melech. How so? Because when a king is coronated, when there is a coronation day, there are trumpets blown to announce the new king is taking the throne. And this is one of the reasons why we blow Tekiah Shofar, based on the teachings and the thoughts of Rav Salvechik, because it is signifying and symbolizing Hashem is ascending to the throne of Malchus. When you hear Shofar, it is the announcement and the proclamation that the king is sitting on his throne. A heavenly king, an earthly king has a throne. Alfei Lahavdil, Alfei Avdalos, the heavenly king has a Kisei HaKavod. He has this throne, and when we blow shofar, he ascends to that throne. The Kapitel of Tehillim that we say seven times before Tkiyas Shofar is chapter 47, Kapitel Mem Zayin of Tehillim, and we say Allah Elokim Biteruah Hashem Bekol Shofar. If you look in the Machzor, you'll see this Kapitel is recited seven times, and what we say is Allah Elokim Biteruah Hashem Bekol Shofar. Elokim ascends with the teruah blast. Hashem b'kol shofar. Hashem is anointed, if you will, with the blast of the shofar. So the imagery that we should have when we hear the tkiyah shofar is that the malach malachim, malachim is being anointed by his people. He is ascending to the throne of malchus on this day. And this is a major overreaching theme of Rosh Hashanah and the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Hashem is king. V'haya b'yamu Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yamu Hashem echad u'shmo echad. In Rosh Hashanah, we accept him as our king, and the ultimate end of days, the whole world will acknowledge that God is king over the world. And this is an important aspect for us to remember that Hashem is Melech, because very often the Melech makes laws or enacts decrees that the subjects might not understand. And that's important for us to remember. We are mere subjects of the Melech Malachim Lachim. Whether we understand his decrees, the Gzeiras HaMelech, and the Mitzvah HaMelech or not is irrelevant. A subject follows the law and order of the king, whether it makes sense to the lowly subject or not. And when we look at the world and this past year, the tragedies that have befallen Kal Yisrael as a nation, not only the individual tzaras, we have to remember that we are here as subjects of the king. The king decrees and the people follow the order. And it is whether we understand Meron or whether we don't understand Meron, whether we understand the shooting outside of Denver Yeshiva or Rahman Atzan, whether we do not understand, whether we understand why a soldier was shot in the head 2 weeks ago and was Nifter last week, 21 years old, what was his first name? Bar-El Hadariya Shmuel Yashemin Kamdama at the age of 21, point blank, and that we don't understand. And we don't understand the Gzeiras HaMelech, but it doesn't detract from the glory of the king. And the glory of the king as he ascends to his throne on Rosh Hashanah is incumbent upon us to accept him as the Melech Malchei Melechim. He is the Melech HaMishpat, he is the Melech HaKadosh, he is Avinu Malkeinu, he is the Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Ram Venisa. And this is one of the kavanas you should have when you hear Tkiyah Shofar, Allah Elokim B'teruah Hashem B'kol Shofar. Hashem ascends to his throne of Malchus with the blast of the Shofar. Interestingly, this relates to the Minhag of Tashlich, which is a much later Minhag in terms of our tradition and our menhagim and our mitzvos and our halachos. But why do we do tashlich? So the most common answer for tashlich, which is customarily done on the first afternoon of Rosh Hashanah after mincha, is because we indicate that we are throwing away our sins. It is a mistake to throw bread into the water. We're not supposed to do that. But tashlich b'mitzulas yam kochatosam. We throw into the depths of the sea all of our sins. But a very interesting reason given for tashlich has nothing to do with throwing away our sins, but actually has a lot to do with this concept of Rosh Hashanah is Hashem is Melech. Why? Because in biblical times and in ancient times, a king was anointed by the water. The king was anointed by water. Water represents longevity. Water represents life. Water represents strength. Water represents endurance. These are all qualities that we bestow upon the king. Endurance, when a king was anointed, that his malchus should be established and that his malchus should continue. So a king was anointed by water. And therefore, one of the lesser known reasons that we do tashlich by water, do not throw bread into the water, is because once again, it indicates Rosh Hashanah is a day of anointing Hashem as king. Rosh Hashanah is a day of coronation. So this is the first kavana that I'm going to touch upon today. Is Tsar Nicholas coming to town? The Cheder children said to the Malamid in White Russia, Kaslavish, and he said, no, not Tsar Nicholas. The Melech Malchei Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to town, Kavi Acha on Rosh Hashanah. It is a day of coronation, and this is one of the kavanas that we should have during Tkiyah Shofar. Hashem is Melech. I now want to talk about another aspect of Tkiyah Shofar, which is the root of shofar itself. When I say root, I mean the shoresh. What does the word shofar actually mean? Shofar does not mean a ram's horn. Shofar does not mean a trumpet. Shofar does not mean a musical instrument. For those who learn with me, I think there are a few women here who learn with me on a regular basis, you know that I focus very much on shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh in my teaching. It's extremely important to identify a shoresh and to know what the shoresh means when we study Lashon HaKodesh, because if you don't know what the shoresh means, you miss meanings. If If you do know what the Shorash means, you understand what the Torah is trying to teach you. An easy example is the word Hakaras Hatov. Hakarat Hatov does not mean say thank you. Hakarat Hatov means to recognize the good. An even better example is Chas V'Shalom, which we translate as God forbid. Chas really means mercy, as in Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kvod and Shabrios, and Shalom means peace. So what you're really saying is mercy and peace. So what is Shofar itself? And what does it teach us about the shofar blast on Rosh Hashanah? So the root word, shin pei resh, ab shofar, again, does not mean trumpet, and it does not mean ram's horn, and it does not mean blow the signal of the horn. It means beautification. If you look back in Shemos Parak Aleph, the first chapter of the book of Shemos, we have two midwives, okay? Paro calls to the Jewish midwives, Vayomer, and he said, L'miyaldos ha'ivrios, asher shem ha'acha shifra, v'shem ha'shenis pua, b'yal d'chenes ha'ivrios, u'reisem al ha'avnayim, im benhu v'hamitem oso v'im basi u'sechayon. Paro calls the midwives of the Hebrews that the name of one is shifra, and the name of the other is pua. And he says to them, when you birth the Hebrews, if it's a son, if you see the boy on the birthing stone, he shall die, and if it is a girl, she shall live. So we know that the Mialdos were God-fearing women. Of course, they ignored the decree, but what I want to talk about is why were they called Shifra and Pua. So I'm sure you're very, very familiar with the famous Rashi, so we know it's Yochaved Amir, but no, I want to talk about the name Shifra. Why was she called Pua? Because she would coo to the baby. Poo, 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 coochie, coochie, coo. The baby's crying. Poo, 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 don't cry, Shevela. So why was she called Shifra? Shemisha Peres Es Havalad, because Rashi said she would beautify the infant. So this root word Shin Pei Resh does not mean trumpet, it actually means beautification. So what is the lesson? Once you identify the root and the definition of the root, now you could identify the lesson in Tkiya Shofar. So Tkiya Shofar is a tool to help us in our process of Teshuvah. The Mitzvot Hayom from Moshe Chodesh Elul through Yom Kippurim, these 40 days, were the 40 days that Moshe was up in Shemayim, the third set of 40 days post Egel HaZahav, is a process of tefillah and teshuvah. And hopefully, all of us in some way are doing Cheshbon HaNefesh during this time. We are taking an accounting of our soul. We are doing introspection. We are identifying those areas that are perhaps strong in Avodas Hashem and those areas that are perhaps not as strong or weak in our Avodas Hashem. And we are working to rectify and repair through the halachic process of Teshuvah, coming back to God. So how the shofar helps us with this and symbolizes, in fact, the beautification of the Jew as he undergoes the Teshuvah process. How so? Rav Avi Yitzchak Kohen Cook Zatzal points out so beautifully that the shape of the shofar, the shape of the shofar, symbolizes our repentance. It is a very narrow mouthpiece. The mouthpiece of the shofar is a narrow opening, and the end of the shofar is a wide opening. The Jew who finds himself ensconced in sin, in Averos, is a Jew who is in a narrow place. It's almost as if the Yetzer Hara backs you into a corner. Narrow, straight. You're pushed against the wall. You feel constricted. You feel conflicted. You feel narrow from sin. But as you undergo the process of Teshuvah, which includes Charata, Azivas Hachei, Kabbalah Ala Asir, Vidui, and finally Mechila, if it's Ben Adam Mechavero, and these are not my own ideas, those are all delineated by the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah. Teshuvah is a halachic process that a Jew must undergo that includes each of those stages. You leave that narrow space and you come to find yourself in a wide expanse or a wide opening, which represents spiritual freedom. So you begin by spiritual constriction because you are backed into the corner, so to speak, by the Yetzer Hara. And then you find yourself in a wide open space, which is the spiritual expanse that a Jew finds himself in after he repents. Rav Mitzchak HaKohen Cook finds proof for this in the pasuk that we also recite before Tkiya Shofar. Min ha-meitzar karasi ka anani b'merchav ka. This too is a pasuk recited before Tkiya Shofar, and this is the next idea that we're discussing with comes in regard to Teshuvah and Shofar. Min ha-meitzar karasika, from the narrow strait I call out to you, God. That's represented, says Rav Cook, in the narrow opening of the Shofar. Anani b'merchavka, God answers me from a wide expanse. So the shape of the Shofar itself is the picture of the Jew who attains spiritual freedom through the teshuvah process. It begins in a narrow space. Min hametzar karasika. The yetzar has backed me into a corner. I feel constricted and conflicted and pressured by sin. As I undergo the process of teshuvah, I find myself in a wide expanse, which is a spiritual freedom represented in anani b'merchavka. So what does this have to do with beautification? Allah. The shofar does not represent our spiritual beauty. It's not about having a manicure. It's not about having a new shetel. It's not about having a new dress. It's not about having beautiful makeup or jewelry for Yom Tov. It has nothing to do with beautiful spiritual. It has nothing to do with physical beauty. It has to do with spiritual beauty. So shofar, from the word mishaperet etavalad shin pei resh, represents the spiritual beauty of the Jew, as seen in the shape of the shofar, as he commits himself to be a chozer b'teshuvah. So this is aspect number two of tkiyah shofar. It is your beautification of you spiritually. You remake yourself into a beautiful person as represented by the shape of the shofar itself. So we began by talking about the four names for Rosh Hashanah: Yom Hadin, Yom Teruah, Yom HaZikaron, and Rosh Hashanah. Then we moved into the first point of the kavana we should have during shofar, which Hashem is Melech. The Rav calls Rosh Hashanah Coronation Day. Tsar Nicholas is not coming to town. God is coming to town. It relates to the idea of Tashlich, Allah Elohim b'teruah, Hashem b'kol shofar. When you say that pasuk Tuesday morning, which is Aleph Tishrei, seven times, have in mind that Hashem is ascending to his throne. He is the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aspect number one, kavani you should have during shofar. Number two, point number two that we have touched upon is this aspect of beautification from the root where the shoresh shin pei resh, because it is the teshuva process that spiritually beautifies the Jew, as seen in the shape of the shofar itself. Min ameisar karasika anani b'merchavka. I now want to talk about another aspect of the teshuva process, and that's based on the words of the Rambam, the teachings of Maimonides in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet. So what does the Rambam tell us? Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Which is really what we're trying to explore and understand today. So the first thing we have to know is that shofar is blown because it's a Gzeiros HaKasuv. That's what the Rambam writes. Afal Pishet Kiya Shofar B'Rosh Hashanah Gzeiros HaKasuv. Why do you blow shofar? Because Hashem said you should blow shofar. Oh, why do I not wear shanis? Because Hashem said, oh, maybe I don't understand what's the big deal if my wool sweater has a thread of linen. No, so Hashem said, you don't wear shanis, precious kadoshim, so we don't wear shanis. What's the big deal if I eat shark, how come I could eat tuna and salmon, I can't eat eel and shark? It's a gzeira sakasa. Rashi tells us on Chumash that the gzeira is something that the umas ha'olam and the satan, the yetzer goad us about. It doesn't make any sense. Shatnes paraduma, achilas chazir, it's a gzeira. So the first thing the Rambam writes there is apa pishet kia shofar, gzeira sakasa. So even if you didn't understand one thing about shofar, even if you had no idea what kavani you should have, even if it didn't make any sense to blow this ram's horn, it doesn't matter. You blow it because it's a gzeira. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, oh, that's a cute comment, thank you. That's cute, thank you. I thought maybe it was a question, so I went to check the chat. So the Rambam says, Afal pi shetkiya shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiros hakasuv. So that's really why. If someone says to you, why you blow shofar, that's why. Oh, then you could say, I heard the following ideas from Micharetz Arev Rosh Hashanah. But the real reason is because the Torah says it's a yom tu'a, yelochem. It's a day of the shofar blast. But remez yeshbo, says the Rambam. There's an illusion in tkiya shofar. What is the illusion or the lesson, the remez in tkiya shofar? Klomar, as if to say, Uru Yeshenim Mishnasechem. We're asleep, says the Rambam. Again, just like we need spiritual beautification, we need to spiritually awaken. When we talk about Shafar, Shin Pei Resh, we're not talking about physical beauty. So too, when we come to this next idea, we're not talking about physically being awake. Every participant in this Zoom meeting is physically awake. But the Rambam says we are spiritually sleeping and we need to spiritually waken ourselves. Uri Yusheni Mishnaseichem, Vahakitsu Nir Dami Mitar Deischem. He uses two lishonos to describe sleep. One is regular, Shabbos afternoon, you take a little nap. And then there's a deeper level of sleep, which is tardema. It's a slumber. It's a stupor. It's a semi-comatose state when a person just moves through life in a robotic state. And the Rambam says that when you hear the tkiyah shofar, just like physically we have an alarm clock to arouse ourselves in the morning, spiritually the shofar is the spiritual alarm clock to tell us you're going through life sleeping. And the Rambam says we are wasting our time behavlei hazman with havel avalim, with futility of futilities. We spend our whole year in futility of futility, says the Rambam. Asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. On the Yom Adin, the Narishkeit, and that we're so busy with the whole year, lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. It's not going to help us. It's not going to save us. The Rebbe Shlomo is going to say, why didn't you make time for Shachris? And they're going to say, oh, I had to go for a fast walk. And then I had to go to the grocery, and then I had to prepare supper, and then I had to put in the laundry, and I had to get ready for my meeting, and by the time I turned around, it was 12 o'clock, and I missed Shachas, but surely you understand, God, why I didn't have time to daven for you. Asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. What are you talking about? Why weren't you patient with your child while he was having a tantrum? What did you really expect of me? Why were you rude? Why was your benching too fast? Why was your dress maybe not as tenu as it should be? We're so busy with havlei hazman, with running to here and running to there and involved. Sometimes with too much narishkeit of the world, too much gashmius. Sometimes we don't make time for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam says, Uri Yushenim, wake up, you're sleeping. Ani Yushena. Velibi Er, Shir Shirim 5:2. Kol Dodi Dofeik. We're sleeping. Ani Yeshena. Bat libi er. My heart is always awake. And the shofar pierces the deepest recesses of the Jewish heart and the Jewish soul. So even if you've been asleep all year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before, or maybe didn't make time, I don't think it's relevant to this nishma group. Apparently you have a lot of tefillah, and a lot of tehillim, and a lot of shirim, Baruch Hashem. But everybody needs to correct something. If anyone thinks I'm speaking to myself first of all, okay? That's first. If anyone thinks this isn't relevant for them, that's the first problem. That's the first problem. The first stage of teshuvah, before the aziva sachei, before the charata, before the chabala ala asid. The first is self-awareness. Everyone claps an achei. No one gets an exemption, unless you're a malach. So everything I'm not speaking to you, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. It's just like lemaisa, we're human beings. You think I'm not speaking to you? That's the first problem. I'm speaking to me first. And maybe you also want to apply this to your life. And believe me, the Rambam's not talking to none of us. He's talking to all of us. Chipsu b'ma'aseichem. Check your deeds, he says. V'chizru l'bor achem. V'chizru l'bor achem. And return unto your Creator. So the next aspect of shofar, when I hear the shofar, Rosh Hashanah, is to remember I must spiritually rouse myself from spiritually sleeping. Of course, we must make time for fast walks and carpool and laundry and maybe lunch with friends and maybe you enjoy a manicure and self-care. Of course it's important. But if we make time for everything else, how can we not make time for God? It's something we have to ask ourselves as we enter Tavshin Pei Beis when the blast of the shofar is heard. Where am I holding? Kodo dido fake, when you're sleeping, but your neshama is really always awake, and the voice of your beloved knocketh, and he says, Pischili, Achosi, Rayasi, Tomasi, Yonasi. Open the door, says God. Are we prepared to open the door and make some room for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Four names for Rosh Hashanah. Fifth name is coined by the Rav, Coronation Day. One of the ideas that you should have in the Kriya Shofar is that Hashem is Melech. Shofar, root word, or not root word, the root, the Shosh is Shin Pei Resh, beautification. We learned that from Shifra. We have explained that the shape of the shofar itself represents the spiritual beautification process of the Jew based on Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Cook. Third thing we spoke about, shofar. Based on the Rambam, spiritual alarm clock. We must wake up from our spiritual slumber. Open the door and let God in. Now I want to talk about the words that represent that the kolos are themselves. So until now we've been talking about the shofar. Malach, beautification, alarm clock. Wake up. Oh, I want to tell you one more thing before I move on to the next nakuda, and that is you see this idea about waking up from a spiritual slumber represented in the liturgy of the Yemei Hadin, because on Yom HaKippurim, in the afternoon, Mincha, we read about Yonah. And Yonah was running away, because he's running away from God, as if such a thing were possible, Kaviyacha, because Hashem tells him to go to Nineveh. So Yonah says, I don't like this Nevua, I'm going to Tarshish. So he goes to Yafo and he buys a ticket and he goes to the belly of the ship. And he goes to sleep, I'm taking a nap, there's a storm. The Midrash says that the storm was only over that boat. Every other boat was sailing under a blue sky and calm waters. And this ship, wow, mamish, do you believe this? It's storming and the sailors are throwing things over and they're all going to drown. Oh my God, what's happening? And Yonah's sleeping, he's taking a nap. So the Rav HaChovel goes down, the captain of the ship goes down to the belly of the ship, and he knocks on the door, on the cabin where Yonah's sleeping. And what does he say to him? Malacha nirdom. There's that root word. Why are you in a deep slumber? You're not just sleeping, you're in a slumber. Kum, get up. Kira el Elokecha. Call out to God. Why aren't you praying? All the sailors are praying to their own gods. What are you doing? You're sleeping? Maybe God will turn to us and we will not be lost. There are many reasons why we include Yonah in the liturgy of the Yemei Hadin, Yom HaKippurim. But this is one reason related to this idea by the Rambam that we're spiritually sleeping, as represented in the fact that Yonah went to sleep. When the world is storming, how dare you sleep? And I can only tell you, if you even follow a fraction of the news, that today the world is storming. Natural disasters, anti-Semitic attacks, COVID pandemic, the disaster in Afghanistan. If you think it has nothing to do with the Jew, you're wrong. Salvechik points out on Megillas Esther, Perek Av. What does that have to do with the Jews? Start in Perek Beis. Yish Yehudi, Haya B'shushin Abir, Shmo Mordechai Ben Yari Ben Kish Ben, Shmo Mordechai Ben Yari Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini. I believe it's Megillas Esther 2:5. Just start there. What do I care about his party and his drinking and Vashti and off with her head? It has nothing to do with anything. Someone's not muted and I'm not the host. Good. Thank you very much. So if Salvechik says, why do we include Megillas Esther Perek Aleph in Tanakh? Because every event on the world stage, says the Rav, has something to do with Am Yisrael. It affects Am Yisrael. Its aftershocks affect Am Yisrael. Don't think that that story has nothing to do with me. I mean, look at the world stage, say, it's mamish storming. Storming. Malacha nirdom. You're sleeping? Kum, get up. Kira el Elokecha, said the Rav HaChovel. Call out to your God. Maybe he will turn to us and we will not be lost. Says the Rambam, you know what you should think when you hear Tkiyah Shofar? Wake up. That's what you should think. How can I do more mitzvahs this year, more chesed, more tzedakah, even if you're already part of a Tehillim group? Maybe more. Even if you attend the shir once a week, maybe you could fit something else in. Maybe I could learn something else, take something upon yourself to show God you're spiritually awake. And when he knocks on your door, kodo dido fake, you're going to see, wow, I'm here, I'm ready for you, Hashem, this year. Shofar, Hashem is malach, Allah elokim betru, Hashem bekol shofar. Shofar, beautification, shin pei resh, based on Rav Kook, on the shape of the shofar. Shofar, it's a spiritual alarm clock. Based on the teachings of Rabbi Pesach Kron, I adopted, amended a little bit from what he said, but this is based on thoughts by Rabbi Pesach Kron and his new sefer, Yamim Noraim with the Magid. Let's talk about the kolos themselves. So we have a tekiah, shvarim, true tekiah. So a tekiah is one long straight blast. Two. That's a tekiah. Shvarim is three blasts. Two. Two, two, so it's a broken tekiah. And then the true is two, 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 two. And we finish with another tekiah. Rabbi Pesach Kron suggests that perhaps the sounds of the shofar represent a man's journey through life. I've adapted it a little bit, but this is based on what he says. How so? Tkia. It's one smooth, straight, even sound. And a baby is born, everything in life is taken care of for them. I'm not talking about a dysfunctional, God forbid, home. Bedarach klal. They're hungry, they'll be fed. They're wet, they'll be changed. They're sad, they'll be soothed. They're tired, they'll be put to sleep. Everything is taken care of for the child. Life is smooth, even, just like the tequila blast. That's how we begin our lives. You don't have to worry. Your parents do that for you. You don't have to provide food for yourself. Your mother does that for you. And then you move a few decades later into life, and you realize life is not as smooth as you thought. It's no longer just the smooth, even sound of the tequila. But now you realize there's a lot of broken things in life. There's a lot of nisyonos. There's a lot of road bumps in life. And once again, you have to look at the root word for shvarim. The root word of shvarim. Shever. Shin, bet, resh. Broken. Na lo lishpar atakisei. Please do not break the chair. You must look at your Rashi when you study Lashon HaKodesh. That's just an aside. Public service announcement. Very important. And then you get a little older and you realize things are broken. Things are difficult. Things aren't as smooth as I thought. The shvarim sound is the broken blast of the tkia, where tkia is straight, even, and smooth sailing. Too. The shvarim is too, too, too. It's a broken blast to represent that as you age in life and as you progress, you realize that things aren't as smooth and not someone is going to take care of everything for me. And I got to navigate the turbulence in life. My husband told me last week, he saw online, actually a week and a half ago, but I'm telling this over in many shiurim because I told it over on Shabbos. I just think it's fantastic that Rav Eli Melech Biderman, I'm sure you've heard of Rav Melech from Eretz Yisrael, a very big mashpia from Eretz Yisrael, whose teachings reach worldwide. So my husband saw the video, he shared it with me. He told it orally to me. So Rav Biderman says, when you're flying in an airplane and the pilot hits turbulence, what is he going to do? If he stops when he hits turbulence, the plane is going to crash, says Rav Melech. So they tell me, I've never been in an airplane. What does he need to do when he hits turbulence? He has to keep going to get over the turbulence. When we encounter shever in life, those nisyonos that want to detract us and throw us off our path, you got to keep going with the acknowledgement and the understanding that you're right. Life is sometimes broken. Now, what is the teruah? The tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. That's, as Rabbi Pesach Kohn, is the wail, the sob. You know, after a child has a tantrum, or even sometimes after you're crying a lot, you're like heaving. That heaving sound that comes when it's hard to catch your breath and calm yourself down, that's represented in the trua blast, which is a broken sound, but staccato, like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It is the wail or the sob of the Jew towards God. Tkia, everything is taken care of. Shvarim, you get a little older and you realize, you know what, life isn't so smooth after all. There's a lot of brokenness. What does the Pasuk say in Megillas Eicha? Ki kadol kayam shivrech miyir pelach. Miriam Peretz says that that's her mantra since her two sons were killed in the IDF. Ki kadol kayam shivrech, shever. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea, says Yerushalayim in Megillas Eicha. Miyir pelach. Who can heal you? Who can heal you? Only the Ribbono Shel Olam. So true. We call out to God. We sob. We cry. So why do we end the sets of blasts with another tekiah? Because it's a realization that Hashem, when we have a muna in Him, will smooth everything out for us once again. Ein lanu amili hisha'en ela alavinu shebashamayim. We start with a tekiah because life is smooth for the young child. Shavaram, you get somewhat older, you move into the second, certainly the third, fourth decade of life, and you realize, you know, there's a lot of shever here. Teruah, that's the sob and the wail. And finally, you end with a tekiya, because it's the belief and the amuna that Hashem will smooth everything out for us. And how apropos, and with this final insight, I will end, that we end the entire service of these 40 days. The custom is that we begin on Aleph Elo by blowing the shofar, and we end 40 days later on Yom Kippurim as the day closes with the Tekiya Gedola. I will quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav. Why do we end with a Tekiya Gedola on Yom Kippurim? Says the Rav, on Yom Kippur, at the conclusion of the Ne'ilah service, he often felt, Rav Salvichuk, that someone's from Toronto, that I'm originally from Toronto. I don't know if I know you, but I grew up in Toronto. The Rav says that at the conclusion of the Ne'ilah service, he often felt that despite having spent the entire day in prayer, he had not even articulated a tiny fraction of what he wanted to express. To illustrate this point, Rav Salvechuk explained that if a father is absent from home for an extended period of time, his son fantasizes upon his father's return, he will relate all that had transpired in full detail during his father's absence. In the excitement and tension of the reunion, the son forgets all the details that he anticipated relating, and he loses his speech, and he's fumbling for his words, and he doesn't even know what to say to the father. He articulates only disorganized and fragmented ideas. What's the nimshal, says the Rav? A Jew has similar feelings at the conclusion of Ne'ilah. For 40 days we have spoken, and yet in some ways we feel we have said so little, we have said nothing at all. As the final moments of Yom Kippur are upon us, the Jew yells, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. And then he says, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Oli Olam Vod. And then he says, Hashem Hu Ha'alokim. And yet, we are so needy. We are so poor. We are so fragile before God. We feel frustrated and dissatisfied. We haven't even articulated a fraction of what we really need for the new year. In order to adequately express our deep longing, when words have failed us, the Jew feels a compulsion to release an instinctive, inarticulate cry. In the seconds before God retreats back to the obscuring clouds, man expresses but he could not verbalize in an entire day of prayer. He sounds the shofar as a response to the futility of verbally expressing his needs. In my words, I'm going to say that the shofar is the call of the neshama, based on this piece by the Rav. Are we really able to articulate everything we need for the new year? Do we even know everything we need? Can we envision every scenario? And so we end this 40-day period with the final Tekiya Gedola, because it's the cry of the neshama, the wordless cry of the neshama, and its connection to the Ribono Shel Olam through the blast of the teruah. Four names for Rosh Hashanah. Shofar, the kavanah you should have is Hashem is ascending to the throne of Malchus, God is King. Shofar, Shin Pei Resh, beautification, Mina Meitzer Karasika. Shofar, says the Rambam, arise, awaken yourselves from your spiritual slumber. Tekiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiya, the journey of the Jew through life. And finally, this whole 40-day process is closed with the Tekiya Gedola. And ultimately, Be'ezrat Hashem, L'shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya. I thank you for joining me a day and a half before the Yom HaDin, for taking the time to spiritually infuse yourselves with some Divrei Torah and Divrei Kedusha. I thank the Nishma Guru for inviting me to speak. I wish you and your families all a kasiva v'chasima tova, a gika ben shtir, an ashana tova, that is tova and mesuka, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov.